good, and they don't look at you like you're absolutely crazy, you know, when you say, my computer is making this really strange picture, or whatever it's doing. And they always seem to come up with a solution. It's really great. It works really well for us.
RB Technologies cares about their customers. Online at rbtechvt.com. RB Technologies, efficiency through technology.
Looking for a new car or SUV? Then come into Cody Chevrolet Cadillac. Now through November 3rd, lease a sporty new Chevy Cruze LT for just $149 per month for 36 months with just $1,100 due at signing. Or lease a new 2015 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $219 per month for 24 months with $2,900 due at signing. Tax title registration extra. See us for details. So hurry in today at Cody Chevrolet Cadillac for the best selection of Chevrolets in central Vermont. Another reason Cody is why Chevy's the buy. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. A nice little light rain out there today. It's, what, day three of this. Got a couple more to go. Forecaster Roger Hill says we may actually see the sun, what do you say, like next Tuesday or something like that. I think actually a little sooner than that. It's all right. We're all here together. Coming up on the program today, in our second hour this morning, we're going to check in with a conference that's going on up in Chittenden County that has been focusing on the country, the Congo. And in particular today, we're going to talk about this issue of minerals and conflict minerals and whether or not extraction is happening and resulting actually in conflict and war. So we're going to chat about that issue coming up at about 10:15 this morning. That will be after we check in with our White House crew. Love to hear from you. You can join us on the program throughout at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. I've been talking about some politics, no kidding, on the program of late. We're going to delve into one of the local races here this morning, the Washington County State's Attorney race, where the two candidates, Republican Tom Kelly and Democrat Scott Williams. Joining us today is Republican Tom Kelly, who is the incumbent. And Tom, thanks for joining us. How are you this morning?
Mark, good. Nice to be with you.
How long have you been prosecutor?
I've been a prosecutor since 1987, so whatever that adds up to be.
All right.
27 years, I think.
Okay, you asked me not to stump you on math this morning, so I want to ask you to do the math
okay.
Here. What do you like about the job?
Maybe I have a little ADHD, but it's different every day. I like the fact that a prosecutor gets to do the right thing about a case, about the defendant, about the public, about the justice system. I like to say it's justice tempered with mercy, and you know, it's a job that comes with its challenges, that's for sure. But I like working with new prosecutors. I like being in court. It's what I wanted to do as a law graduate. I went to law school to be a prosecutor. I have a little law enforcement experience. I was a military police officer in the Army on active duty and studied criminal justice in college. So it's what I wanted to do, and it's what I've done with my career.
What are the challenges?
There's two sides to every question. So we have to, there's a defense to cases. I mean, talking about the criminal law. The challenges are many. The system has its limits. It's not perfect, but we have to wend our way through. I think, frankly, the challenges demand someone with experience for this job. And I think I have that.
Okay. Help me, though. What are some of the challenges?
Everything but we have basically in a criminal case, we have two decisions to make: who to charge and what the charges will be. But then the fun begins once the case is prosecuted. We have you know, gathering discovery, providing discovery is a challenge. I mean, proving the case beyond a reasonable doubt is definitely a challenge. It's the highest standard in the law. So, you know, I think that demands experienced and well-trained prosecutors. It's not just about the criminal law. There's the juvenile sector, protecting children, the CHINS cases, children in need of care and supervision, delinquencies. So it's not just the criminal aspect. It's juggling a lot of balls. There's not enough time in the day. So that's a challenge. You know, there's not enough judge time. You know, it's a challenge getting cases scheduled because of the demands of the court. We have one court, one judge, you know, so there has to be you know, prioritization, and that's a challenge, and we, you know, we deal with the demands of many communities that you know, the departments want their cases prosecuted, and we respond. So those are some of the challenges.
I've spoken with T.J. Donovan up in Chittenden County, the prosecutor up there. He acknowledges he has to cut plea bargains on cases because there are just too many cases. Do you have the same experience?
Oh, of course. We have to resolve cases, we try to be fair to everyone and resolve the case along the lines. I mean, I watched, you know, my first 20 years was working for other prosecutors, which I think is invaluable. I worked with the Drug Task Force for about 6 years in the middle of my time and worked in six counties, Dale Gray and Jim McKnight, Joel Page, a little bit with Bill Sorrell in Chittenden County. And those folks, you know, supervised me, but I watched them work. And of course, Terry Trona. Spent most of my time working and learning from him.
Long time Washington County State's Attorney.
Yes, yeah. Right, who unfortunately died in 2004.
Yeah. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. What'd you learn from Terry Trona?
I think his approach was fair, and he was cordial. You know, even if they didn't like his decision, respected it. And he just had a good manner. I don't say I have exactly his manner. I'm not trying to copy him. But he was a good man and well-respected. I think, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And I think following his lead has been has been helpful, and watching him work was very helpful. The way he trained folks, the way he understood how the system worked, and his apolitical nature. It never occurred to me that he ever made decisions based on politics, which I respect.
You're a Republican. There's been a couple of endorsements in this race that your challenger's gotten, Scott Williams, including from the mayors of Barrie and Montpelier. What's that all about?
I don't know. I mean, I commented at the time that I was a little disappointed. Neither one of them. I'm not sure I ever actually face-to-face met Mr. Holler. Tom Lozon I know from town, and as I said at the time, every conversation I've had with Tom Lozon about my job has been positive, so I'm not sure. But I haven't solicited endorsements, and I don't think for me that's an appropriate thing. I think the citizens of the county are served better by a prosecutor that isn't seeking political endorsements or giving them.
So you don't take or give endorsements?
I don't.
Okay. Why? You know, what's your reasoning on that?
I think decisions are made every day. There are groups that have opinions about what should be prosecuted and who should be prosecuted. And I don't think I'm going to go around asking them for endorsements and then 2 weeks later be faced with a decision on whether to prosecute somebody and they don't like the decision and there's these bad feelings. It's better to just stay away from that and make the decision to be removed from that I think, political process.
Do you raise money to run for this office?
I haven't solicited any endorsement, any funds. I've used. I mean, frankly, I kind of like the George Aiken report was approach. Was it $17 that he infamously mm-hmm. spent 1 year? So, you know, that would be my goal as to how much to spend. But no, all kidding aside, I'm using any resources are my own.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't take contributions from
people? I have received a couple of donations.
All right.
But
I'm just wondering what the criteria you use, given you don't do endorsements.
Oh, if somebody wants to provide money that I could use to buy ads or whatever, I wouldn't turn it down.
And then you'd prosecute that person the next week?
Well, yeah, if need be, sure. Yeah.
How are you better at your job? How are you a better prosecutor than you were in 1987 or maybe 1990, give you a couple of years on the job?
I think the judgment comes from experience. The who to prosecute and what to prosecute for, I think maybe a little bit, if I could say, you know, with age, the piss and vinegar, it's, you know, I mean, I think I'm more measured than I was as a deputy. I think I realize that, quite frankly, I respect the police. They have a job to do, but they don't have all the answers. And I think the prosecutor needs to be someone that can, you know, if we agreed every time, one of us wouldn't be necessary. And I think, frankly, the police understand that. So I'm not trying to be critical, but I think, you know, the prosecutor needs to play a role. The court plays a role. The court is the sentencing arm in deciding whether things were legal or not. The prosecutor also has a role in that regard. The prosecutor is also sworn to uphold the Constitution. So the prosecutor sometimes has to, you know, make decisions that something can't be prosecuted. So anyway, I think I'm better because of the experience and the training and being around other prosecutors and being involved in so many cases. I mean, there's judgment made in what to recommend and to a court on a sentence. And, you know, we, with experience, know, you know, the lay of the land maybe a little bit and also what's happened to other people, the fairness of a resolution based on other cases.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most important case you prosecuted in the last 3.5 years, last term?
Well, I'm reluctant to talk about individual cases. I mean, there was a case yeah, I mean, I had a couple of serious cases with Mr. Williams. But there's been, we had a very serious case, State versus Johnson, the, you know, prior offenses, and there was a life sentence in that case because of the heinousness. So that was an important case, I think. I think the jury did the right thing and the court imposed the appropriate sentence.
What were you referring to with the cases with Mr. Williams?
We had a couple of trials together and
where he was the opposing
attorney. Yes, that's right. Okay. That's right. I mean, he served as a public defender and you know, they were sexual in nature, the two cases. And the state prevailed, you know, in both. So
okay. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on here in central Vermont here with this whole issue with opiate addiction. I would imagine we're not immune down here either, much like anywhere else. But we'll continue, pick up our discussion with Tom Kelly. He's the Washington County State's attorney. We're talking about the election. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after these important announcements.
Hi, everybody. Coming to you from Poulin Auto Sales and Service, Vermont's largest previously owned car dealer. With over 300 vehicles to choose from, we got the inventory you want. We've got inventory out the wazoo. And with our 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty, you know you're getting the best car free of headaches. But in the event that you do need something worked on, our expert service team will have you up and running in no time. And you don't want to pay more for that new car than you have to, so Poulin offers 0% financing. Yeah, 0% financing on previously owned vehicles. That's unheard of. If you want an awesome vehicle with an awesome warranty at an awesome price, you got to come to Poulin Auto Sales and Service. Because if you haven't shopped Poulin lately, you haven't shopped Poulin. We're changing the way you feel about buying a car. Visit one of our two locations on East Berry Road in Berry or Shelburne Road in South Burlington. And online at PoulinAutoSales.com or PoulinVT.com.
John Biondolillo on the new William Ravis BCK Real Estate Partnership.
We've always been a family business from day one. I mean, even when the kids were little, they set up a lemonade stand in front of the business to raise money for charity. So the idea of partnering with Ravis, which is very much a family-oriented company, was a natural for us. From day one, our goal has been to build the best real estate firm in northern New England, and our partnership with William Ravis allows us to do that. They've been named the most innovative brokerage by Inman News with nearly 100% customer satisfaction. The William Ravis website is known as one of the best in the real estate industry with over 1 billion hits annually. With William Ravis, we have the resources of one of the top mortgage companies in the country. We can underwrite and fund our loans in-house, which eliminates a lot of surprises. The bottom line is that Marcia and I still own 100% of the business. As the new William Ravis BCK Real Estate, we just have so many more strengths and resources to offer our agents and our clients.
For more on the new William Ravis BCK Real Estate, visit RavisBCK.com.
Hi, this is Rich Harvey at Montpelier Pharmacy and Waterbury Pharmacy. When you shop at local businesses, you support those businesses, but what you may not realize is that you're supporting many other local businesses. We buy more than 90% of our supplies from Burlington Drug in Milton, Vermont. Because we keep the money in Vermont, more jobs are created here. When you buy from a national chain, most of the money goes out of state and stays there. And the next time you're at a fundraiser or a local event, it's usually local companies who are the main supporters of these events. Neighbors helping neighbors. So buy local. I'd like to personally say thank you to all of you who support us as we continue to grow. If you have questions about your prescriptions, give us a call at Montpelier Pharmacy, 223-4633, or Waterbury Pharmacy, 244-7701. Locally owned and very happy to be independent. Thank you.
Nissan in Barrie is the fastest growing Nissan dealer in Vermont. And Vice President Jack Castellaneta says people are driving from Burlington, Lebanon, even St. Jay to save up to $6,700 off the MSRP of new Nissans. Jack, what's the catch?
There's no catch. It's just one of the ways we make it easy to do business here. A better selection of new Nissans, huge savings you won't find anywhere else, and pricing that nobody can touch.
No crazy fine print. Formula Nissan cuts the baloney and saves you money.
We're keeping it simple. And simpler means cheaper. Don't make a $3,000, $4,000, or even $6,000 mistake somewhere else. Get more for your trade and huge discounts direct from the factory at Formula Nissan.
0% financing up to 60 months. Huge factory discounts and rebates that make it simple to drive a new Nissan. But it all ends October 31st.
Only at Formula Nissan on the Barry Montpelier Road next to Pizza Hut and at FormulaNissan.com. Let us show you how easy it is to do business here.
On approved credit, offer ends 10/31/14.
Back continue our discussion. We've been talking this morning with Tom Kelly. He's the Washington County State's attorney running. He's a Republican running against Democrat Scott Williams. You can join us on the program this morning. If you'd like to call in, you can at 244-1777. That's our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. So how deep is the opiate problem here in central Vermont?
Well, of course, I see the tip of the iceberg. I see the people that, generally speaking, it's not so much for possession, it's for committing other crimes. And it turns out they have an addiction or abuse of these drugs, which by and large, it seems to me, it's the prescription drugs that are being abused and not as much the hard drugs, heroin and cocaine, although there's some of that. So, and then these young people, a lot of them, not all of them, are stealing to buy the drugs, apparently. So that's what we're seeing, I think, more of than maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So what's your approach in dealing with this? Is this a public health issue to you? Is this a criminal issue? Where do you fall on that
scale? Well, I think for the prosecutor, it is, I mean, that's my job, is the public safety. When serious crimes are committed, the law says that voluntary addiction is not, voluntary intoxication, if you will, whether it's alcohol or otherwise, is not a defense to the crime. That doesn't mean that corrections and the courts don't take that into consideration, and I certainly endorse the approach that there needs to be rehabilitation. But public safety is paramount. But there are, you know, sometimes a series of minor crimes are committed that I think everyone would agree that we can use, you know, other tools that are coming online, thanks in part to, you mentioned TJ. I think we welcome those tools coming forward. There was a legislation this year, I think S95, I think, whatever the statute, but there's a monitor being, and I took part in, you know, interviewing or speaking with a person that's applying for the job in Washington County, and that monitor is going to help the court craft pretrial conditions, but also the monitor, and there may be more than one of them, that are going to be used in pre-charge issue screening people to see for mental health issues and drug issues, and maybe get those folks into programs quicker than sometimes the normal process citation appear in court 6 weeks later would allow.
Maybe put those headphones on. 244-1777, toll free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Barry. Larry, good morning.
Good morning. Tom, I'd just like to say that I'm glad to see you running again. I think you've done a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
I can remember the first year you ran right after Terry died. I think you've done a real good job, and believe it or not, Washington County is a real busy county with all the drugs and what have you. So glad to see you run, and good luck.
Well, Larry, thanks for the call. It's very nice. Thank you.
Are drugs the number one problem now?
I'm not sure it's the number one problem. I think it's right up there. Yes. I mean, there's violence, whether it's produced by drugs or not, is a problem. Violent crime, you know, assaults, whether domestic assaults or otherwise, is always an issue. Sexual crimes are very serious when they occur in the home with children, is also very serious. And child abuse, you know, which that's a form of course. So,
right.
But it's up there. I think drugs are driving some of the criminal behavior. Yes.
What do you think's really going on with all of this drug abuse?
You know, philosophically, I think people are looking for something. I mean, from a religious perspective, I think it's sometimes called a holy longing. I think people are looking for something. And maybe that's where, you know, we all need to get back to the basics and a church and other things. I think that's where the problem is, perhaps. But, you know, that's certainly not part of what I do, just an observation.
Mm-hmm. How do you decide what cases to prosecute when it comes to these or not? What's the criteria on that?
Well, I think the model that's employed in Chittenden is appropriate. Someone with as you probably know, Mark, there's something called diversion. I mean,
right.
these programs, this is Vermont, after all, and we've had programs for years, for my entire career, that have diverted folks out of the traditional model. You know, and one of them is called diversion. So someone with a clean record and a relatively minor offense will go to diversion. And they can help folks get into these modes, drug treatment. There's also something called restorative justice, the criminal justice centers. There's two of them in Washington County. We use those for some of these low-level cases where someone has a prior record, but, you know, it's retail theft, perhaps, or petty larceny from a vehicle, those kinds of crimes. When you get into residential burglaries or certainly these armed robberies or more serious offenses where violence and there's some assaultive behavior, don't think it's appropriate to send them to these pre-charge programs. There are some property crimes, serious property crimes, with people with records that we use our drug court for, or treatment court. And that's a tool that we're happy to have here in Washington County. It's not everywhere.
Maybe put those on.
Sure.
Let's head down to Randolph. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning to your guests. Talking about the drugs that are so prevalent out there, I think the prescription drugs are obviously prescribed, So they're coming from a doctor's prescription pad first and then from a drugstore. I know in our family, we had a family member that was seriously injured in a skiing accident, had some very serious surgery, was prescribed very serious drugs, and the instructions were not very plain on how to take these very heavy narcotics. And when we called to get more, we had to go there and get them. It was not just a call to the drugstore to refill the prescription. And we did that, never used them all again, and then had to bring them to the hospital to get rid of them, because you can't just,
right.
have sitting around. But another friend, we were talking about this type of drug, and he had some very minor foot surgery, and he was prescribed 60.
Mm-hmm.
And even he was just amazed. He said, that's way over what any possibility I could ever use. So, and I had people, I guess jokingly, I'm not sure, when I was talking about this, these pills, and they're all like, oh, we'll buy them. And I think that's how they're getting out onto the streets, because people will, without ethics, have, they'll just see the dollar signs and sell them.
I agree. That's what we see. That's some of the criminal behavior we see. People selling prescription drugs. Maybe there's a crime called prescription fraud. So, yes, we see that, and that is part of the problem. And I think over-prescription is part of the problem, too. There's a lot of these drugs out there that maybe are over-prescribed.
Thanks for your call, Mary. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Your opponent says, Tom, quote, we need to be smarter about our approach to crime. We need to be looking at public health and acknowledge that that drug addiction is a public health problem that shows up in criminal behaviors. You agree with that statement?
I can't disagree with that.
It sounds like you're leaning more on the criminal behaviors than the public health. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's the role of the prosecutor.
Not that I'm leading the witness.
No, I think that's the role of the prosecutor. I mean, we're a small office. Our job is, I'm in court nearly every day. So, my job, I think the people of the county expect me to be training other prosecutors and working in the courts in my role. So acknowledging that there's a public health issue is one thing, but I don't know exactly what he's suggesting that he would do differently. I acknowledge that that's true.
He also says, quote, the police often think drug court decisions are too lenient. Do you think that?
Well, I think the process gives the offender a huge carrot, and that's what it's designed to do. I've been to conferences regarding drug courts, and they are evidence-based. That's the buzzword we hear in the criminal justice system. It's not by the gut. It's if the procedures are followed that have been proven, then the goal is the to public safety, that the recidivism rate goes down with folks who succeed. Many do not succeed. I don't know if it's 50% that make it through the drug court and graduate, if you will, and the options for one who doesn't graduate is to get a sentence that's along the lines they would have received had they not been in drug court. So mm-hmm. I think the balance is there, and it's proven. These are used everywhere in the United States.
Talk to me about children and protecting children. We've had these terrible cases. It seems, I don't know whether or not it's a blip, if it's statistical anomaly, or if we really have a much deeper problem going on in this state. But we've had a couple of really high-profile cases, a couple of serious cases involving deaths. Children under the protection of the state. Give me your observation on what's going on here.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't know if it's a blip or just a trend. I hope it's not a trend. We have a very experienced, in fact, the most experienced deputy in my office works in the juvenile court. I don't know if that's true everywhere, but that's where, and that's, she wants to do it, but she's also doing a good job, and that's what, that's a priority. There is no case more important, although they're not in the public eye. And she's in court. It used to be we were one day a week when I first started in juvenile court. It's now almost two full days and spilling over into another one. So it's becoming nearly a full-time job in Washington County, and it was not before.
Mm-hmm. What do you think's going on? Why do you think this is happening more often?
I don't know that I know why. I think that may be a question for somebody else. Why are there more cases? I think the drugs are driving some of it.
I think the drugs are driving some of it. Is there a connection?
I think there may be. Right. There's been some talk in Washington County of putting some of the mothers, frankly, of some of the children and that are involved in these juvenile cases in the drug court, and I endorse that approach. Judge Grierson is exploring that, and I think that's a good move.
What will that do?
It will give these folks an opportunity to participate in the drug court process that's been proven to work.
Okay, I'm not following you here.
Well, they'll work in the drug court, which will allow. It has to be worked out, though. I mean, so I think it's certainly unusual in Washington County to have these moms working there. The details have to be worked out. The defense bar has to kind of go along because they're represented. But they will participate in this drug court process, which is quite intensive, with drug screenings. And they have to face these people involved. I won't say offenders because they're involved in the juvenile court, would be facing the judge every other week and reporting back to the court as to the progress that's made. It's about accountability.
Mm-hmm. Does the state, I mean, there's been discussion about adding more personnel, more caseworkers. What's been your observation in terms of the load these caseworkers have and the system? Is the system in need of more support?
I think they have added some. And, you know, it's a question of training folks, too. But I think it's helpful because, you know, there are reports that come in that have to be investigated, and the quicker they're investigated, the better. So does it help to have more people doing that? Obviously, yes.
Mm-hmm. If you could wave a wand and have anything in your office, what would it be? What do you really need that you don't have?
Well, we just hired a new prosecutor, a new position. So that's certainly welcome. Could we use another one? Sure. A full-time investigator. Every office would like a full-time investigator. We're blessed to have Ron DiVincenzi, a former state police detective,
yeah,
who works part-time, does a great job on domestics and sex cases. But it'd be nice to have a full-time investigator. We've got two victims advocates who do a great job for us. A ton of experience, and their job is to keep victims informed of the process and communicate with the prosecutors. So another prosecutor wouldn't hurt. We'd like a little more space. We've had the DCF office moved out of the fourth floor into the other building, and we're trying to get some of that space to use for storage and meeting space. So that's another mundane thing we'd like, but it would not hurt to have another prosecutor or two.
How many do you currently have now?
We have four deputies, myself and four deputy state's attorneys.
Okay, yeah. So when you started, we're back with Terry Trono, how many deputies, weren't there like two deputies back then?
Yeah, actually, Jane Woodruff was just moved into was called a career prosecutor position. So that freed up her position, and I was hired into that position. So I was the third, I think. And then there was a domestic prosecutor hired. It was Ann Buttermer, I think, was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, her position was with us for a good 20 years. And then the grant money went away, and we were without one for the last 2 years. And now we've hired a permanent non-grant position. That one I just mentioned has been hired. So we have four full time.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you, Mark, for inviting me.
Tom Kelly is the Washington County State's Attorney. He's running against Democrat Scott Williams. We'll take a short break. We'll be back. We'll take your calls coming up at 10:15. We're going to talk about the Congo. We'll talk about minerals, and we'll be back right after this.
Travis Romano here from G Stone Motors in Middlebury with the one and only Todd Stone 2014 track champion.
Travis, will you shut up and put that megaphone down?
No, Todd, you had another great race season and people want to hear about this.
I'll tell you what people want to hear about is our huge inventory.